ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। Prashant, verses 25 to 29, chapter 6. Shanai shanai ruparame, shanai shanai ruparame, buddhya kriti prihitaya, buddhya kriti prihitaya, atma samsammana kritva, atma samsammana kritva, nakinchidapi chintayet, shanai shanai ruparame, buddhyadriti grihitaya, atma samsammana kritva, nakinchidapi chintayet, yato yato nischarati, yato yato nischarati, manaschanchalamastiram, manaschanchalamastiram, tatastato niyam yaitat, tatastato niyam yaitat, atmanyeva vashamnaye, atmanyeva vashamnaye, yato yato nischarati, manaschanchalamastiram, tatastato niyam yaitat, atmanyeva vashamnaye, प्रशान्तमनसंहेनम् प्रशान्तमनसंहेनम् योगिनं सुखमुत्तमम् योगिनं सुखमुत्तमम् उपैति शान्तरजसम् उपैति शान्तरजसम् ब्रह्मभूतमकल्मषम् ब्रह्मभूतमकल्मषम् प्रशान्तमनसंहेनम् योगिनं सुखमुत्तमम् उपैति शान्तरजसम् ब्रह्मभूतमकल्मषम् युञ्जन्नेवं सदात्मानम् युञ्जन्नेवं सदात्मानम् योगी विगतकल्मषः योगी विगतकल्मषः सुखेन ब्रह्मसंस्पर्शम् सुखेन ब्रह्मसंस्पर्शम् अत्यन्तं सुखमश्नुते अत्यन्तं सुखमश्नुते युञ्जन्नेवं सदात्मानम् योगी विगतकल्मषः सुखेन ब्रह्मसंस्पर्शम् अत्यन्तं सुखमश्नुते सर्वभूतस्तमात्मानम् सर्वभूतस्तमात्मानम् सर्वभूतानि चात्मनि सर्वभूतानि चात्मनि ईक्षते योगयुक्तात्मा ईक्षते योगयुक्तात्मा सर्वत्र समदर्शनः सर्वत्र समदर्शनः सर्वभूतस्तमात्मानम् सर्वभूतानि चात्मनि ईक्षते योगयुक्तात्मा सर्वत्र समदर्शनः This yoga that Lord has been talking in this chapter so far, he calls it as the yoga of severance from the union with pain.
Yoga?
Of severance from the union with pain. In other words, our essential nature is bliss. There is no way of us suffering from pain unless we out of ignorance separate ourselves from the Atma and unite with Anatma. That's all it means. Let that be, in verse 23 it says, let that be known as the what? Yoga of severance from union with me. You are Atma. But you do not know that you are Atma. Atma's nature is infinite bliss. So what do? You are already united and one with Atma. You are that. Now, out of ignorance, you separate yourselves from that Atma, as it were, and unite yourselves with Anatma, the worldly objects and beings. Please understand this. These words are very important words. Attention and awareness. When your attention is drawn away towards the worldly objects, right? Everybody in this world is essentially divine. And when we talk about divinity, divinity being a state of infinite bliss. So all of us, in all our endeavor, are only seeking that infinite bliss. But we are seeking that infinite bliss in things which are passing and fleeting. That is the unfleeting. That is the problem. Instead of going within, we are sending our awareness outwardly. Our awareness is drawn towards the worldly objects. Even when our attention is drawn towards the worldly objects, what are we looking for from the worldly objects and beings and all the relationships? Happiness. And that happiness that we are searching for is the happiness that will not be interrupted or intercepted by sorrow. Isn't it? So he says, we, our foolishness, our attention gets drawn away by the worldly objects, then we lose our awareness of the self and we get one with the worldly objects, then we become sorrowful. Right? So all that the scriptures do is what? By explaining us all this, it teaches us how to withdraw from the union with the worldly object and then unite with the Atma. Ulta karna chahiye. Sara abhi ulta ho gaya. That is, instead of uniting with the Atma, we have now become one with the worldly object. Get involved, totally lost. We have become the body. When that says, we are not human beings living in this world trying our best to experience spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings going through human experiences. We are not human beings trying to attain spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings living in this world, experiencing human experience. That's what we need to understand. So he calls it as the yoga of severance from union with pain. You go and attach yourself to the world, then definitely you will go through pain. Because the nature of the worldly object is what? Passing and fleeting. So in other words, the sukh that the worldly objects will bring, to that extent, it will bring in sorrow that commensurates with the sukh that you experience. Because it will be constantly fluctuating. So you are going and uniting. So therefore, what do we learn from this? There is no point in blaming the worldly objects and beings. This is the lesson that we have to learn. Now what do we say? I am suffering because of the external world, the objects and beings. I am not suffering because of the objects and beings. I have what is called a switch in my hands. I have forgotten to switch off and switch on. Somebody comes and talks rubbish to you.
You have no control over what he talks. But you have control over what? Whether you want to switch on and allow what he talks to enter your personality, or switch off in such a way that what he talks does not enter your personality. We have forgotten that the switch is with us. A yogi is one with whom the switch is always there. So he said in verse number 24, abandoning without reserve all desires born of sankalpa. You must abandon all desires means what? Not the objects of the desires. Objects of desires are not tying you. What are tying? What is tying you? Your own thoughts running towards the object. So you got to abandon that. Thoughts running from you towards the only object is called desire. Without control, without awareness. Such thoughts needs to be controlled. And then restraining the group of senses completely from all quarters by the mind that is fortified with the scriptures. You got to have sense control and control your thoughts. And then do what? He explains in verse 25. Shanai shanai ruparamet, shanai shanai ruparamet, buddhyadriti grihitaya, buddhyadriti grihitaya, atma samsammana kritva, atma samsammana kritva, nakinchidapi chintayet, nakinchidapi chintayet, shanai shanai ruparamet, buddhyadriti grihitaya, atma samsammana kritva, nakinchidapi chintayet. Shanai, shanai, gradually, little by little, slowly. You can't force your mind. Anything forced is never forceful. Swami Ramakrishna makes this statement. He says, anything forced is never forceful. You forcefully withdraw yourself completely from the worldly objects and beings, then your mind will actually be preoccupied with that object or being that you are trying to run away from. Therefore, you say, shanai, shanai, slowly, slowly withdraw. Don't stop suddenly. Right? All of a sudden you get inspired by something and then you completely withdraw from the world. You have withdrawn from the worldly objects and being, but the poison of the thoughts running towards the worldly object remain within you. You are not suffering because of the objects or beings. You are suffering because of your thoughts that have run towards them. Habitually you have been taking it towards it. There has been a tremendous path that has happened in the subconscious mind. Now, even if you take away the object away, the thought habitually will run towards the world. Therefore, you say, slowly, shanai, shanairu, uparamet. Let the mind be withdrawn slowly. Don't be in a hurry. Let him withdraw the mind little by little with the help of the intellect held firm. Buddhya Vritti Grihitaya. Buddhi means intellect, discrimination, awareness. With the awareness of the self, let him withdraw. Now, this withdrawing business, what is this withdrawing business? This needs to be understood correctly. When you sit on the seat of meditation, or when you sit to concentrate on anything for that matter, what happens? Your mind runs away into its destruction. That's why, in fact, one of the things we talk about when we talk about time management and productivity. In the seminars that we give, seminars on time management and productivity, many people miss this, which is planning for your destruction. We plan for what we ought to do, but we never plan our destruction. Say for example, Facebooking, right? Or Twitter, right? What they call as Twitter, and then so many other things. You got to allocate a certain time. If you understand which are your most productive time, which are not so much productive time, then the most important job would be allotted during your most productive time. And not so important time could be not so much productive time should be allotted for the distraction. Then the mind knows that, yes, I am not told not to go there. I have been allotted some time, then it starts behaving. Are you with me? This is the most important thing to do. So here in this context, coming back to this context, whenever you sit down for concentration, your mind goes in all other directions. Where it should go, it will not go. It will go into all the other directions. So what do? Straight away you force the mind, don't go there. Come back to this. It doesn't come. So what do? Watch your mind. When you stand behind and watch, the mind comes back. Like exactly like how you drive the car. Interestingly, there is clutch, brake, accelerator, CBD, CBA, isn't it? ULTA, ABC, besides CBA. So clutch, brake and accelerator. Nowadays automatic car, no clutch. So let us discuss that. Brake and accelerator. So both use the same leg. We use the same leg for both brake and accelerator. Why? When you need to give acceleration, do that. When you have to reduce the acceleration, withdraw the leg from the accelerator, and when you need to stop it, put it on the brake. Same leg. Otherwise, with one leg you will be accelerating, with the other leg you will be braking. The same leg is used. Similarly, one aspect of your thoughts, what is called as intellect, when the thoughts are discriminatory in nature, it's called intellect. When the thoughts are indiscriminatory in nature, it's called as mind. So now the thoughts are running indiscriminately towards the world, as a result of which it has become strong, habit is formed. So the mind, when you sit down for meditation, it goes in the center. So what do? You bring in the intellect and watch. Don't give acceleration in that direction, watch. The more you become watchful, the mind starts withdrawing behavior. That's why when you sit on meditation, they tell you, when you sit and you are given a mantra to chant, whatever mantra it is, right? The mantra helps you to focus. And then as you are chanting, slowly the chanting starts becoming mechanical, mind has gone somewhere. And to the extent it is gone somewhere, you are not aware. The moment you become aware, what do they tell you, whosoever teaches you meditation? They say, just be watchful of those thoughts. After some time, mind starts focusing again on the chanting. When the distractions become too much, even watching is not possible, that means you have come to your capacity. Get up from the seat of meditation. But if you practice this over a period of time, you will be able to create a new habit, which is you will tell the mind, withdraw from there and go here. Now you will be the boss behind. You tell the mind go there, it goes. You tell the mind don't go there but go here, it goes. That is the stage Krishna wants you to attain. So little by little, let him withdraw by the intellect held firm. Having established the mind in the self, let him not think of anything else. So the emphasis here is not thinking of anything else. You can only remember things which you know. So when he says think of something which is higher, Atma, what is he talking about? What helps you to think in that direction? If you have been constantly studying every day, there have been certain descriptions of Atma given. Atma Satya, Atma Nitya, Atma Paripurna, etc. So what happens? Your thoughts start dwelling in that direction, one. And secondly, we need to understand here one thing. If in case you have some job which is left incomplete, right? And your mind has taken you to so many other things. Say for example, you have been taken for a movie. You left the job incomplete. Though you are watching the movie, inside your mind is constantly, what is it doing? The job is left incomplete. That job is left incomplete. Like that. When your mind is withdrawn from the worldly things, inside the mind will be going towards the Atma only. He's not talking about forcefully thinking about something. He's talking about mind flowing towards Atma. Atma being your natural state. So today what is happening is, left to yourself, your mind will naturally go towards the world.
What's the
world? What do I do? Okay, let me call her. Right? It's not going towards, okay, what do I do? I have a lot of time. Does it go towards studying? Does it go towards reflecting? Are you with me? So that is why in the previous classes we said, firstly, the mind has to understand the what? Insignificance of the worldly pursuit as an individual. Insignificance of the worldly pursuit as an individual. As if from this level, if I go to that level, I will attain it. None of us follow this. Why don't you go and ask the fellow who is already there, have you attained it? He will say, no, no, my friend, I want to go there. From this level it looks to you, if I attain that level, I'll get it. I think once I become general manager, everything will end. Does it happen? No, no, no. I want to become senior general manager or vice president, president, CEO, managing director, chair. It goes on, right? So, mind should understand the insignificance of the worldly pursuit as an end in itself and start understanding the significance of the Atma. Otherwise it is not going to withdraw. You still run there only. If you have seen that there is nothing in it, then it will not go. Till there is some belief, maybe there is something in it, I only don't know how to get it. Then you will be interested in somehow wanting to go and get it. That is why we say the method is, the step is this. First, you do Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. If you do this, remaining in Grahastha, not giving up the worldly obligations, slowly, slowly, mind starts understanding what? The insignificance of the worldly pursuit as an individual. Because when I thought this, I thought that is all. Everything is that. I put all my efforts to get that. And once I got that, what happened? Immediately, I understood I didn't get anything. Till I did not have a bicycle, I thought if I get a bicycle, everything will be fine. And once I got the bicycle, then bicycle has lost its significance anymore. I don't get the joy from bicycle anymore. I want motorcycle. Once I get the motorcycle, but till I get the motorcycle, mind was going on, thinking about motorcycle, motorcycle.
The sense of achievement is definitely there. Even when you're doing the Gita, you read a little, and you feel, okay, let's put this in practice. Then the sense of achievement is that, okay, I've crossed this level, now I have to go to the next.
What do you mean by the sense of achievement here?
I was striving towards, maybe a bicycle.
What I'm trying to do is, there is a subtle difference. If there was a sense of achievement out of which the actions will flow naturally for you when you are at the level of motorbike, as a result of such dynamic flow of action, productivity increases, as a result of which the profitability increases, and the car that you get out of it will start becoming a byproduct. Then it's fine. But is that what happens in everybody's life? No. Most people, what happens? No, I'm not happy with the bike. I want car. So now, the running towards the car is no more a byproduct of your achievements. Car will start becoming your next product of achievement. Please understand. This is all Vedanta is against. This is where we need to be very careful. Like Shakespeare says, don't call a dog mad and kill it. You will call a dog mad and then you will put it to sleep. You got to first make sure that the dog is really mad. Similarly, lot of people do not want to come to Vedanta because they think it will kill all your passions. Vedanta never kills all your passions. Vedanta will start making you get the sense of achievement, sense of completeness. And that sense of completeness, if you are not going to get it in a bicycle, you are not going to get it in a motorcycle either. In other words, if that sense of completeness, if you don't get it now, you will never get it. We always think that sense of completeness, I will be able to get it when I get there, in future. For me, the sense of completion is never now. So what we know is, if you really get the sense of completion, your passions will not get killed. Your passions will then start getting underlined by awareness. As a result of which, what happens is, you will not be involved. You will be sending your mind when out of fulfillment, it automatically starts flowing. And as a result of which, you will become dynamic. And of course, when the profitability increases, automatically the car will come, the other things will start coming. But all these will be a byproduct of your sense of completeness or action that, that surface as a result of your sense of completeness. But that is not what happens in the worldly people. They become so disappointed. Very interestingly, in the worldly pursuit, the pursuit is not disappointing, but the achievement is disappointing. So that's all. Itna hi. Jab tak you haven't got it, you work for it. Your mind is 24 hours, 365 days, it's interested, it's getting interested, getting interested. You got a problem to solve. The mind is going on trying to solve that problem. Once you solve that problem, there is nothing in it. There is now next problem. You want some other riddle, some other riddle, some other riddle. You go on looking for problem solving. You understand? So what Vedanta says is, understand that cycle per se, or motorcycle per se, or car per se, is a passing, fleeting thing. And since they are passing, fleeting things, when you achieve it, the joy that you will get also will be passing and fleeting. How can something which in itself is passing and fleeting can give you permanent happiness? That's all that is. But this question you got to ponder, and when you relate, you got to see. This is what karma, bhakti, jnana, yoga, all that will do for you. When you do that together as a grahastha, slowly what happens? Mind come to a state of mental withdrawal called uparati or uparama. Uparama. Think mental withdrawal. mind on itself will not run after the world. When it needs to be taken, you will take it. Like when you have to give, accelerate, you will give. When you have to take your leg off the accelerator, you will take. Now you are the boss. That is what is the state of Uparati means. Lot of people think the other way. They think giving up of things. It may happen in some cases, naturally they may give it up, that is different. But simply because you withdraw yourself from the worldly objects of being doesn't mean you are in a state of Uparam. Then, from that state of mental withdrawal, which is called as renunciation, you will be able to plunge into meditation, dhyana. Always you will find Krishna in this Bhagavad Gita emphasizing sense control, mind control, all that before he talks about dhyana. But in the world, all sorts of things are going on. Nobody cares about sense control or mind control. Simply they want to come and plunge into meditation. Yes, for example, even the class, you say, the class. I say, if the class is at 11 o'clock, I'm reminding you all of you again. I said this before. What did I say? If the class is at 11 o'clock, what should you note down in your diary?
Class at
11 o'clock.
I will be arrived by
10:15. 10:15? 15. Okay. Little before. And then do what? Not
that simple.
You got to tune into the frame of mind. Supposing we have started the class, you come running from your preoccupations, from your other things. For you to settle down itself takes about 15-20 minutes.
Yes.
That is why what we do, even in the yajna that we conduct, but I would like to do that ideally here also. In the sense, 5-10 minutes earlier, you start singing bhajans or you start chanting the verses. And together all of us start chanting the verses as a positive vibration that is created. Then tuning in becomes easier. Then we slide into it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So that is why if you see traditionally anywhere you go, first there is little bhajan or chanting and then the lecture starts. The idea is to tune in, get into it. So similarly, if you did not have sense control, you live according to your likes and dislikes, you allow your senses to go anywhere, all sorts of gossips you hear, and then close your eyes and sit down in meditation immediately.
The outside world will think, my God, this fellow is almost having breakfast with God. But what is going to happen in your mind, only you know. Is it with the sublime or is it with the ridiculous? Only you know that. Isn't it?
So therefore always Lord Krishna emphasizes Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga on a daily basis according to your capacity.
Then slowly the mind reaches a state of mental withdrawal, renunciation. Then you will be able to practice meditation to that extent the mind has withdrawn, and to that extent slowly the mind starts getting established in the higher Brahman, and through meditation you realize this.
This is the method. Nobody can put it simpler than this. If you see, I think in this portion only the diagram should be there, I don't know. Somewhere there is this diagram, you see Swamiji has given. Where the karma, bhakti, jnana yoga, three roads finally leading you to mental withdrawal. In that leading you to meditation. In that finally leads you to self-realization. I'll point it out to you somewhere else, it will be there, I'll show it to you. So, this is the method. Right? So he says, little by little, let him withdraw by the intellect itself. Having established. Having established the mind in the self. Mind will not get established in the self unless and until you take off the leg from the pedal.
If you give accelerator, what will happen to the mind? mind will start running towards the world. So therefore, what do you have to do for the mind to get established in the self? Withdraw the leg from the pedal.
Believe me, then the mind will start going towards the self. Please understand, mind is an equipment or an instrument. Wherever you take it, it will start flowing with. And since you have been taking it all this while in that direction, it's constantly flowing in that direction. You can't blame the mind for it. You have been wrongly taking it in that direction. Now what do you have to do? You have to stop taking it in the direction and then start taking it in the right direction. You got to withdraw the mind from dusan and send it in the satsan. The nature of the mind is to get attached. Where you want to take it is in your hands. If you constantly take it in that direction, it will get arrested. Let him not think of anything else. Then inside, just like how you are not thinking outwardly that I am a woman, I am a woman, I am a man, I am a man. But deep inside, this is established that I am a woman. Like that, deep inside, your mind will be established in the Atma. It is not thinking. It's not forcefully thinking that I am Atma, I am Atma, I am Atma. It's not psyching yourself. If anything is brought about as a result of psyching, that can be removed. Isn't it? If I hypnotize you and I remove fear temporarily, if somebody comes and dehypnotizes you, again the fear will come back. Are you with me? If you went to the cause and eliminated it permanently, then there is no question of fear coming back again. Isn't it? So that's what Krishna is saying here. It is not a question of thinking about Atma. Lot of people go on thinking about what they have heard about Atma, and they think now they are established in Atma. One of the most important things that we need to understand is the what they call as Samadhi. He's talking about Samadhi now. This Samadhi, once you achieve, you don't get back. If you are getting back, then it is not true Samadhi. A lot of people talk about going into Samadhi experience, then when they come back, they felt that pain, which was like thousand scorpions stinging together. That means you did not experience that true Samadhi. It was a different kind of a Samadhi. The joy that you get sometimes induced by drugs. Isn't it? When you get out of it, what happens? Your mind is again going towards drugs. Because you lost it. In fact, the pain is even more severe. That is why the moment they get up, they look for alcohol, they look for drugs. I want more. I want, please give me. Because the stinging is even worse. This is not the real Samadhi. Do you think? If you have entered Samadhi, it will perpetuate. It can never reduce. It will be infinite bliss.
Samadhi and renunciation.
Renunciation is a path to Samadhi.
Renunciation and meditation then.
Yeah, you see the steps that Patanjali talks about. Last is Samadhi.
There is nothing
here. No, once you have reached that ultimate
ultimate state, you become one with self, you become Brahman.
Once you are established, till you are not established, you can come back. You will fall back. But once you are established, thereafter there is no question of falling back.
Yes, Gatva Mani Vartanti.
So, Brahman and Samadhi are
the same? Yes, final Samadhi, yes, same. That's what he is going to say also in the next few verses. He will become Brahman, he will say. He will become Brahman and he will experience that infinite bliss. Next verse.
Yato yato nischarati, yato yato nischarati, manas chanchala mastiram, manas chanchala mastiram, tatat tato niyam yaita, tatat tato niyam yaita, atmanyeva vashamnaye, atmanyeva vashamnaye, yato yato nischarati, manas chanchala mastiram, tatat tato niyam yaita, atmanyeva vashamnaye.
Yato yato nischarati, by whatever cause the unsteady and restless mind wanders away. Yato yato nischarati manas chanchalam astiram. The definition of mind given in our scriptures is what? Astira and chanchala. Right? Astira and chanchala. Stira means what? Steady, stable. Astira means not stable. The definition of mind itself is not stable. Mind is an equipment, in a way it is an indicator of the fluctuation that is happening outside. When the fluctuation happens outside, you will see the same fluctuation inside. If you leave mind as it is, like a flag that is hoisted, if the wind is blowing from left to right, the flag will also start, what will happen to the flag? Sway in that direction. If the wind direction changes from right to left, what will happen to that? It will also stay. In a way, it helps for you to balance. You can't blame the mind for it being astira and chanchala. That is its nature. So yato yato nischarati manas chanchalam astiram. What he is trying to say here is, instead of blaming the mind, start understanding it. Once you start understanding it, it start comes under your control. Same logic for relationship also. Same logic for everything. I've said this before in many classes. We did not understand what thunder is, lightning is. We were giving all sorts of stories for it. But when science started understanding lightning and thunder, now the fear is gone. In fact, we are controlling lightning. We are doing so many things through that. Isn't it? The question is an understanding. So that's what he's saying. By whatever cause the unsteady and restless mind wanders away. Meaning, the mind is wandering away because of the certain old habits. Right? And the mind is going in that direction. You see, don't go. Why are you going there? You know, don't go back. Don't criticize the mind. Don't judge the mind. Understand the mind. It is going there because I have been taking it there. What can be a problem itself can be a solution also. You use a thorn to remove a thorn. Similarly, what do? Now, with this understanding, I have been taking the mind in that direction, therefore it is going in that direction. So I will not blame the mind, I will not try to force it, I will not compel it. What will I do? I will firstly watch it. Where is it going? Why is it going? Just watching. So going because of this, I'm just watching. Then what happens? Mind starts coming under
control. Vasham, restraining it from that. Let him bring it under the control of self. Slowly, slowly you will see mind start coming under your control. Which means you are, you will tell the mind go, it will go. If you tell the mind go and it has lost its energy to go, that means you have not restrained the mind. You have destroyed the mind. There's a difference. Do you mean? By forceful suppression, mind gets what? Destroyed. Not restrained. Mind is a beautiful force. For worldly reasons, it needs to be used. Attention is required. Success can come only if you pay attention. Isn't it? In any field, success can come only if you are able to pay attention. If you don't pay attention, will you get successful then? That means impossible. Anything. In many cases, what is happening to us is there is a tremendous desire in that area. Therefore, the mind automatically starts paying attention in that field. That is not natural concentration. That is not concentration. Concentration is whether the mind has desires, likes and dislikes in the field or not. If it becomes necessary, you should still be able to pay attention. Then it is concentration. Somebody has fallen in love with a girl and you ask him all the time, what about this situation, he is thinking about her. You ask him, what are you doing? Concentrating on her. Would that become concentration? Mind is going there only. It is not going anywhere else. He is not able to concentrate in his business. He is not able to concentrate in anything else. His health, everything else is going for a toss. Paying attention. But the problem is what? Lopsided paying attention. All our attention is drawn into business, as a result of which my family is suffering. My health is suffering. Right? All other areas are suffering. Would that be considered a success? So therefore, what is real success? It's like driving the car. Where you need to give acceleration, you put your leg on it and you are fully aware behind as the driver sitting there and controlling it. When you need to withdraw, you withdraw. Apply brake, apply brake. When you need to again give acceleration, you give. It's exactly like that in life. You be behind the seat. Behind the steering wheel, behind the wheels, and then trust. Yato yato nischa, ti manas chanchala. Understand the mind, why it is going there, what is happening. By understanding the intellect being behind it, slowly the mind will start coming into control. Rather than giving rid of all the objects which the mind is going and forcefully withdrawing. Our attention is totally become one with the worldly object and the awareness is missing behind, as a result of which what has happened? Completely drawn away. You want to be there behind, send it whenever you have to send it, otherwise mind itself is not there, you have destroyed it. You got to lubricate the brake with brake oil and all that. Otherwise the brake gets jammed. Isn't it? So it's not like totally applying brake. A lot of people think withdraw. What do they do? Totally applying brake. In the name of Brahmacharya, in the name of so-called control, what do they do? Completely destroyed. Mind is running in the direction, but the physical body has lost its capacity to control.
before he says, by whatever cause the unsteady and restless mind wanders away, understand that. Look at it from behind. You got to deal with it lovingly. When you have love, you patiently hear. Isn't it? When you don't have love, you are interested in giving your views rather than listening. And in many cases, they feel much better simply because you heard them out. You haven't given them any solution in nothing. You are just a catalyst. You allow them to bring out all the dirt that was there in them. This is exactly what happened to Arjuna. He was so disturbed. Krishna was just patiently hearing in the first chapter. He felt so light that made him understand, yes, I don't know what is right. Excuse me.
These 18 chapters are only how many days of Arjuna distress? Or how many days was that? Or how many?
The entire battle was for 18 days only.
The battle. But this is not before the battle.
On the first day itself.
So everything was a couple of hours.
Minutes. I'll explain that later on. How it has to be looked at. See, now with technology, we are seeing such a huge file, compressed zip file, there is something called a zip file. Right? If you put it in zip format, the same USB or something that you are using can download. Isn't it? You bring it in zip format and then log it. So like that, Krishna giving Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna should be understood in that sense, in the zip format.
No, I was talking about his
Vidha
in his mind.
First day, when the battle was about to start, Arjuna had a problem and he asked, Gita was given. And it's not like how we are elaborating it in...
Basically it was a sentence that
turned
the advisor.
Don't look at it like sentence.
No, meaning something that...
The subtle level transaction. A subtle level transaction. When a transaction happens at the subtle level, it's much faster. When the same transaction has to happen at the gross level, it is much slower. Do you see? So this is a transaction that is happening at the subtle level. The energy transference from one being to another depends upon how deeply at the subtle level the person is opened up. So this is what is happening between Krishna and Arjuna. It is not to be understood as if there is a gross level dialogue that is happening. If the gross level dialogue happens, it takes long time. Anyway, so by whatever cause unsteady and restless mind wanders away, restraining it from that, let him bring it under the control of the self alone. So what it means is cause. When he says cause, yato yato nischarati. So why is the mind going after it? Because I have been taking it all the while there. So what do I do? Now in that direction, all the directions in which the mind is now flowing is an indicator that all this while I have been taking it in that direction. Before you come to Bhagavad Gita class, or you turn in, before you join the ashram, all the while your mind was going in those directions only. Money, 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 whatever. Just an example I'm giving. Now suddenly when you are sitting in the ashram, you're telling, why are you thinking about money in the ashram? Hey Baba, you have been taking the mind all the while towards money. So even in the ashram the mind will think about money. Isn't it? Is it right or not? So when you approach the Guru will not say, don't think of money now. You have been smoking. You are trying to gain control over it. And in the meantime you have joined the ashram also. The ashram is an environment where they tell you not to smoke.
You can't smoke until you get up. But in the ashram, you think simply because you have been brought into an ashram, the thought of cigarette will not come. If you say, I don't need the thought of cigarette at all, you are a devotee. Isn't it? Environment is different, the thought will go. So now what he is saying is, you clearly understand. I have been taking the mind towards money all the while, therefore going towards money. Number one point. Number two point, when the mind is going towards money, what do I do? Instead of criticizing it or judging it, I just watch. I'm not saying don't go, but I'm just watching. Then what happens? The intensity starts reducing first. First, what will reduce?
Intensity.
Intensity. Then what will happen? Slowly, the frequency will reduce.
By watching the mind, of course.
And slowly, slowly, you will see that the mind will not even come up with the thought of money. Unless you take it there. That capacity should be there for you to take it there and bring it back. And we are human beings. Isn't it? Otherwise you are impotent. Don't understand the difference. Energy is there. You must be able to take it when you have to take it and bring it back. Not losing the very capacity to take it into the world. Mind has lost its capacity to go into the world. That means you are not an evolved soul. You have destroyed the mind. It's a beautiful equipment. A car is a wonderful object. Why do you have to reject it? Really? Take it. You bring it back. For the worldly purposes, you require the car, use it. For the world, mind is essential. Remember this. But if you fight with the mind, it is like fighting with the darkness. When you fight with darkness, who will win? Darkness. What do you have to do? Whenever you fight with darkness, what do you have to do?
Bring in light.
That's all you have to do. But if you do shadow boxing, darkness, go away. You get so tired. The boxers, when they practice, they do shadow boxing. Extremely tired. Similarly, if you fight with the darkness, you will only lose. If you fight with mind, you will only lose. So it is, don't fight with mind. That is the advice that is giving you. We all tend to fight with mind. Such a bad person. In the mandir, this thought is coming, sir.
That's because of your ego.
Everything you can generalize it to ego. This is because you are not understanding what is happening to you. All these days you have been taking it there. Suddenly now it will not. Because you said don't go, because you brought it to the mandir, it will stop. Impossible. Then you are a hypocrite. Isn't it? So when you go and discuss with the guru, which you are doing sadhana in the restaurant, the guru will tell you exactly the same thing. What else do you expect your mind to do? The thing is, suddenly how come you started becoming aware of it now? Because the external environment is not that conducive for it. Otherwise, you are lost in it. When you are lost in it, even the awareness was not there. The difference is what? Now at least the awareness is there. Earlier also you were getting angry. But now, at least the awareness is there when you are losing it. Isn't it a better state?
So first thing is you got to understand that the mind is going there because it has become a habit. And from habit, if you remove H, a bit will remain. From habit, if you remove H, a bit will remain. Then when you remove A, bit will remain. And when you remove B, it will remain. Isn't it? From habit, if you remove H, bit will remain. You remove A, bit will remain. You remove B, it will remain.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Because all this while you have been taking it there. So many years, so many days have been studying that. Think it happening, sir. We feel like that. The Guru tells you, don't think like that, something is happening. Like that experiment that we used to do in volumetric analysis in chemistry lab. Right? Little by little, a liquid from the burette is added to the liquid in the beaker. You go on counting. Suddenly the liquid color changes in the beaker. The red litmus turns into blue. Then you close the knob and start making calculations. Now my question to you is, did that last drop change the color? Or every drop changed the color? Every drop. But the last drop made the change visible. Is that clear? Every drop is changing it. But the last drop is making the change visible. Similarly, your everyday sadhana is doing something to your anger, is doing something to your greed, is doing something to your hatred, is doing something to your lust, it's doing something. But it has not yet become visible. That's all. But the change is happening. Which the Guru sees. The Guru operates at a certain level. But since we operate at the gross level, we get despondent. In the gross areas, when you put in effort, the effect also will start becoming visible in the beginning. In the subtle areas, when you put in effort, the effect will not become visible in the beginning. Therefore, you require patience. So firstly understand, secondly watch, and then automatically your mind will start coming under your control. Next, Prashantamanasamhenam Yoginam sukham uttamam Upai tishantarajasam Brahma-bhūtama-kalmaśam Prashantamanasamhenam Yoginam-sukha-bhuttamam Upai-ishantarajasam Brahma-bhūtama-kalmaśam. Verily, supreme bliss comes to this yogi whose mind is perfectly tranquil, whose passion is calm, shanta rajasam, who is sinless and also has become Brahman. I told you, no? He will slowly start becoming Brahman itself. It is a mind that is taking you away. You got to draw the mind, make it calm, then the Atma from within manifests it. In the movie theater, the film role is rolling at a certain speed. The projector, what is it doing? Simply projecting it. But when it makes, when the film roll is made to roll at a certain speed, then what is projected on the scene, for the person who is seeing it, looks as if it's real. Isn't it? You slowly reduce the speed. Matlab, the reality of everything that is happening on the project, on the screen, starts fizzling out. It's no more real. You will not be crying there. Isn't it? When you are watching that movie, Titanic, when the hero is giving his life for the heroine, what has happened to you? Face, you are washing with your tears. So much of tears rolling down, changing if they slowly reduce the speed. You think that much of emotion would have been there? Only the mind has lost itself, running at a terrific speed ko thoda kam karna hai. The fact that it's running at a speed, the thoughts, the world seems so real to you. Finally, when the projector stops, as in the rolling stops, only light is there. So what he says here is, verily supreme bliss comes to that yogi. Who is a yogi? One who does watchful action is a yogi. It's all. Yogi means not one who stopped action,
one who goes on doing watchful activities.
For that person, what happens? Slowly, that thoughts silence. And thought silence, perfect tranquility. Your things. Prashanta manasa. Uttamam sukam upaiti. He attains uttama sukam. The sukam that he experiences is not uttama. It's all low level sukam because it's interrupted, intercepted by sorrow.
Sinless. What is sin?
The definition of sin changes from person, from place to place. The symptoms of sin may change, but the sin is same. The cause is same. You need to understand. What is the cause?
He says the cause is rajasic mind.
What is that rajasic mind?
Passion.
Uncontrollable mind runs. You have to be reminded of the poem Pond in this context. What happened to that? Poem Pond or poem Turkey, they had all of almost same. The poem Pond, the poet talks about a chick befriending ducklings. And the ducklings are playing around the pond. The chick goes and plays with them. And before it checks with her mother, can I go and play with them? She said, okay, if I befriend them and play with them. The mother bird says, no problem, go and play. But it cautions, when they enter the pond, you don't enter. Why? Because the chick does not have that webbed feet. Ducklings have webbed feet. They can swim. So while the ducklings are playing with the chick, every now and then they go into the pond and they show off. Not necessary to show off. They just go in, put their head inside, put their tail inside and swim. They enjoy. Seeing that, the desire kicks over the chick's mind. With that desire having taken over, the chick is trying to reason out. Chick's intellect. Chicken intellect. Means no intellect. Tries to reason out. And interestingly, when it reasons out, first thing it sees is feet. It says, my feet. And then it rejects it. It cannot be the reason.
Slowly, slowly it rejects everything and finally it comes to its peak. My peaks are pointed,
their peaks are round. My peak is pointed, their peaks are round. Is that any reason why I should be drowned?
That's not the reason. Then it makes one another statement which is very interesting statement. It says, I am really remarkably fond of water. I am really remarkably fond of water. What is that? Rajas. Greed. Isn't it? Thoughts are changing. It's natural. But you allowing the thought to run without control is all the cause of your sin. And there comes a time, thereafter, mind is taking over, you are not able to withdraw. Thank you. It's like they're catching the tail of a tiger. You are not comfortable holding on to it, you can't leave it. Tiger will finish. This is exactly what happens to the turkey. The turkey and the ant form. Turkey tired of common food, forsook the barn and sought the wood. Behind her ran an instant drink, collecting here and there a drink. They got bored, fed up. Then thought came, why not I eat ants? And started eating ants. All the problems starts. Similarly, in Nekbar's mind, a thought came. I should be the king. Then the thought came, let us kill Duncan. Then they gave force, started putting pedal, leg in on that pedal. And when they started putting pedal on that leg, both husband and wife together. Isn't it? Nekbar started putting leg on that pedal. Then what happened? The car started moving in that direction. It started becoming rajas, momentum. Shanta rajasam. Amazing word. This shanta rajas. Where you got to put your leg, you should know. Once the rajas takes over, what happens? Sin apne aap kya jata. It is not the question. See, gluttony. When you say gluttony is sin. Right? What is gluttony? Taking more than what is necessary. Oliver Goldsmith, I think, makes a beautiful statement. He says, nakedness of this world can be clad, clothed with the trimmings of the veins. Where wealth accumulates, then decay. Mendicant means you know also decay. Accumulation is decay. Accumulation, stagnation is sin. If you open your cupboard, 10,000 saris falls on you. You understand? When new things enter your cupboard, old things should be distributed. Then you will not decay. But going on accumulating. Understand? You will decay. Accumulation is there. Accumulation is swelling, it's not growth. You've got to differentiate between accumulation and growth. You understand? But we are accumulating. And what we do, we are completely pressing in that direction. Therefore you become sinless. And once you control the passion, you become sinless. You don't gather vasana. What is vasana? See, if you constantly pour water from the top to any surface, on the dining table, continuously water flows, over a period of time you will see there is a mark. That is vasana. Now what do you have to do? You have to firstly
stop pouring water. Then slowly it will dry. Then you can remove it, applying something on it. This is how you change the vasana also. Sinless, he becomes vasanaless. When the vasana is not there, there is no more rajas. And there is no more rajas, there is no question of committing sin. So you got to teach yourself and to the children how to conquer that passion. Rather than that, we are emphasizing on external behavior. This control of external behavior without teaching how to conquer the passion from within is only going to amount to stress. Because inside my mind is running helter-skelter, but outside I am saying hello, behaving like that. You understand? It's a restriction from outside. When there is restriction from outside, what will happen? Stress only will build. This is what it is. We'll talk about it in detail next time.
शिष्यते ओम शांति शांति शांति। सकलं परस्मै नारायणाय समर्पयामि नारायणाय समर्पयामि।